Well, it is a great privilege and honor to stand in this pulpit and preach the Word of God. Knowing the caliber and the men that God has used in this place before is a great honor and privilege, and I'm humbled to stand here in this pulpit to preach God's Word. I take this sacred desk very seriously, as many have done in times past. The Word of God is powerful and quick, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we're dealing with the souls of men, and the souls of women and children, and the souls of men as well. And I thank God for the day He saved me by His wonderful grace. I thank God for the day that there was a man that stood and preached the truth and the demonstration and power of the Holy Spirit of God that quickened me and made me alive unto God. It is my earnest desire, my earnest prayer this morning that there may be some in this place that are lost without Christ, that know not the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might come to the saving faith that God has birthed in several of us in this place this morning. But it is also my earnest desire this morning that we that are saved by the grace of God would also be sanctified by the same Lord God and Savior that saved us by His wonderful grace and mercy. This morning I want to be preaching out of 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. If you turn in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11. And I want to preach on this topic, the sequence of sanctification. God didn't just save us to go to heaven. God just didn't save us to deliver us from sin. But God saved us to be sanctified, to be a holy people, to be set apart from the world and its ways. And everyone that God saved and had birthed in the family of God, they have a desire, they have an earnestness in their heart and their mind and their soul to be conformed to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be made holy. They have a holy dissatisfaction in their hearts and minds that drives them from sin and drives them to the holiness of God. And that's in the heart of every born-again believer. And if you're here lost without Christ and you lack that desire for holiness, you lack that desire for sanctification, the Bible says you must be born again. So we see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. The Bible says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Let us go to God in a word of prayer. Father, we do bow before Your holy presence, and God, we thank You and praise You for this day. God, we thank You for the hymns of the faith, Lord. We thank You for the precious truths, Lord, that come forth from men that have written, Lord, and pen these hymns down. Lord, we thank You, God, that You're a holy God, that You're Lord God Almighty. Lord, we thank You that, God, the precious blood of Jesus Christ washes away all our sins. Father, we thank You for the sanctifying grace that, God, You've given unto us through the triune God, Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. And, Father, I would ask, Lord, the aid of the Holy Spirit this morning to preach Your Word. Lord, I'm unable of myself to do what You've commanded me to do, to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I cast myself upon Thee and Thy help, Lord, this morning. And God will give You the praise and glory this morning for what You do in the hearts of each individual here. In Jesus' name, amen. As I thought about the sequence of salvation, we think about the order of salvation, ordo salutis. We think about God as a God of order. He does things in order, just like the creation stage, the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day. Our God is a God of order. And we think about sequence. What is sequence? It's arrangement of way events take place. It's how something happens. It'd be such as some of us that have come up to camp this year. Many of us had come to know about the camp through talking to people, through talking at the camp meeting to others about Camp Maranatha. Some have come to find out about Camp Maranatha through the Gazette that Dr. Lucilius has sent out. Some others have just been coming year after year after year after year. And yet we've made it here, and we're here for a purpose in this place by the providence of God. And some had problems getting here. There have been events that come into their life where they weren't able to make it in time. And they had to take some detours, but yet they made it here. But I thank God that God has an order in His salvation plan. And God has an order in sanctification. There is a sequence that takes place in one's life before he comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are things that God has put in your life before you came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are things by His providence that God had put in your life, whether it be the death of family members, whether it be bringing you to an end of yourself to see your need for the great Savior. There were things that God had done in your life and is doing today by preaching the Word of God and bringing the Word of God forth into your hearts and your minds, that God is working in you that you might come to salvation in Him. God also is working in when He saves a sinner by His wonderful grace. He is working in them by events and a sequence of sanctification. If God was to save us and make us perfect and whole, we might as well be in heaven. But God has a purpose here on earth to glorify Himself through each and every individual that's been saved by His wonderful and marvelous grace, that we would be conformed to His precious Son, Jesus Christ, that He would glorify Himself through taking sinners, hell-deserving sinners under the wrath and justice of God, saving them out of the pit of sin, raising them up to a place and a standing in Christ Jesus, and having us to live in this world, being sanctified and purified and cleansed by the renewing and regeneration of the Holy Ghost of God. So we praise God that He is a God of order and that God is still saving sinners and God is still sanctifying His church through His Word, as our brother prayed this morning. So we see today some events I want to bring out that have transpired and will transpire in your life. If you've never been born again, there are things that will happen in your life where God will bring you to a place where you see your need for salvation. And also as one that has been saved, a saint, blood-bought saint of God, where God will begin to work in you and through you to sanctify you. So I want to take a look at a few things through this portion of Scripture that we looked at this morning as we read God's Word. One thing I want to point out, that we have been set free from sin. In the sanctifying of grace of God, we have been saved to be sanctified and we have been set free from sin. As Doc had been preaching, as Brother Finnegan has been preaching, the great liberty that we have as the saints of God. I mentioned this the other morning in the Sunday morning meeting at the church up the hill, that there are many that are fighting for liberty in this country. There are many that are giving their lives for liberty in this nation. Young men fighting over lands and overseas for the liberty of this nation. Some may be for an unjust cause, but they're still fighting and still going. But I praise God, there was one man, the man, God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that came down from heaven and gave His life willingly to do the Father's will, to go through Gethsemane, to take on the form of man and go to that old rugged cross, the cross of Calvary, to die for sinners that we might be set free. You think about everything that transpired in heaven, in the counsel of God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, before the foundations of this world were ever laid. There was a plan being made. Just as an architect would look at that great scheme of a plan of a home or a house, and that architect might see a great possibility of something that might have a problem in that house, yet God, in the counsel of God, and the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, saw through the eternal past, eternal ages, that there might be a problem with the fall there in the Garden of Eden, in the fall of man. That He made a provision that those that would fall in Adam, our federal head, the one whom is our father, as men had sinned through Adam and Eve, down through the ages, every man, every child, and every woman has been born a sinner. But yet, praise be to God that God looked down through eternity and saw that He had to make a provision for sinners. A provision that they would be set free from the bondage of sin and slavery to sin. So we see that there is a place of being set free from sin in this portion of Scripture. We see, He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators." Fornicators. What are fornicators? Those that practice sexual acts outside of marriage. Those that commit adultery outside of marriage and cheat on their wives and fornicate on their wives or their husbands. But we also see that there are idolaters. I think it's a great statement that Leonard Ravenhill had once said. He said, anything that you love more than the Lord Jesus Christ and God Himself is idolatry. And that is a great statement, for God said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul, and all thy strength, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Even in the Gospels, the Lord Jesus said unto His disciples, if you hate not your father, if you hate not your mother, if you hate not your children, your kinsmen, and you love them more than Me, you are not My disciple. You have not taken up your cross. Is that to hate your mother and father? No. But if you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, you're going to love your mother. You're going to love your father. You're going to love your sisters, your brother, your kinsmen. So we see there is a being set free from sin. Those that are idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, sodomites, homosexuals. But we also see thieves, those that steal and rob. We also see covetousness, those that covet things with their eyes and desire things and want things that are not theirs to have, but yet go after them. So we see also those that are drunkards, those that involve themselves in drinking and carrying on and partying and indulging in themselves in the things of this world. Drunkards shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But we also see here, extortioners shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But yet we see the setting free from sin. Every one of us in this place, we might not have been a drunkard, we might not have been an adulterer, we might not have been a homosexual, but some of us in here and all of us in here have committed crimes against the thrice holy God. The Bible says if you've offended Me in one law, if you've come to steal something, to lie, you've offended all of them. And here we see every one of us in this place, in this list, that God has set forth in His Word, that we would find ourselves guilty before a thrice holy God. Amen. But praise be to God. I thank God for the words such as but and such. Small words, but yet with so much meaning. He says here in verse 11, and such were some of you. That's right, we were all in this case. We were all under the wrath and justice of God before this such. He says, and such were some of you. We were slaves to sin. We were under the sentence of death. We were under the sentence of a thrice holy God. We were under the power and control of Satan himself. For the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that you were under the child of disobedience. You were children of wrath. Those that were walking according to the prince and power of the air, Satan himself. Not only were we in slavery to the bondage of sin, but also slavery to Satan himself. Separated from God, and slaves to sin and slaves to this world. But we praise God today. He says, and such were some of you. And I think about in Mark chapter 5, there are the Gadarenes. And we see Legion there. He was one who was in bondage, in chains, in fetters. And yet after Jesus had come across the sea with His disciples and walked onto that shore, and that Legion came up. And there He was in bonds, cutting Himself. In the darkness, wandering in the mountains, wandering in the tombs. But yet Jesus came to him, and he saw Jesus, and said, what would you have to do with Me? Yet we see him later on in that chapter, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in righteousness, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can see many of us, and such were some of you. And there are some of you in this place that don't have that such, or are still under the wrath and condemnation of God. Those that have never come to the saving knowledge of Christ Jesus. But praise be to God for those that were such. So we see that we were prisoners, just as this one Gadarene, this legion, he was a prisoner to himself. He was a prisoner in chains and fetters. And that's how we were as saints of God. We were those that were in bondage to sin. We were like a prisoner that was just in his cell. He didn't have no reality of what's going on out in the world. He didn't have no reality of the things that were going outside of that little prison cell. So it is with sinners. They know not the things of God. They can't see outside of what's going on in the world and the things of the world. They can't see what prayer is. They can't see what the Word of God says. They don't desire the things of God, the worship of God. They're in the prison. They're in the bondage and the slavery to sin and Satan and the separation from God. So we see there is that sinfulness that is in man. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that federal Adam, as he sinned, sin and death had passed upon every man, every child, and every woman in this place today. And the only thing that separates the saint and the sinner today is what Christ Jesus done on that cross of Calvary. As he took up that cross, and he went up that hill of Golgotha, and he went to that cross knowing that he was going to die, that he was going to suffer the wrath and justice of a thrice holy God, that he might redeem a people out of every kindred, every tribe, every nation, and every land, that he might glorify himself and make himself, his name made great. So we see we were all in bondage to sin. We were all in bondage to Satan. We were all separated from God at one time under the wrath and condemnation of a thrice holy God. If we would have got our just deserts, every one of us would have been in hell. But praise be to God for that such. God says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed. You are washed, you are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. We think about the imputation of sin. What happened on that day when Adam sinned in the garden? That sin was passed down through generations. I don't understand it, but I know what the Word of God says, that it was passed down to every generation. And I know that I inherited a sinful nature from my mother's womb. I wasn't taught how to lie. I wasn't taught how to steal. I wasn't taught how to be a drunkard. I wasn't taught the things that involve sin, but they were in my heart and in my life. So it is with every one of us. And such were some of you. You've been saved by the grace of God. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. You say, what is justified? It is the judicial act of God whereby all the claims of the law are satisfied in the person. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ with respect to sinners. Why did Christ go to the cross of Calvary? Why did everything transpire throughout the Word of God? Every purpose of God, everything in the Bible came to this one point, that cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, everything that happened on the cross, He did with respect to sinners. God Himself took on the wrath of God, the justice of God. He took upon Himself our sin, that we might be justified. What does justification mean? That we are declared righteous in the sight of God. We are sanctified. At the moment of salvation, one becomes sanctified, justified, positionally sit in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We are perfect and whole and holy in the eyes of God, for God cannot look upon sin Himself. But He looks upon us, those that are saved by the grace of God, looking upon us as through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we are positionally seated with Him, but yet here on this earth, we have a work to do, and that's working our salvation out with fear and trembling, working ourselves through the Word of God. For what are we sanctified through? The Word of God. So we have a responsibility in our sanctification. We just don't get saved and go on in this life without being cleansed, without being purified, without being staying the same. It's a real problem with me as a preacher and a proclaimer of the gospel to see those that have been in the church, that have been sitting in the pews without no growth, without no desire for holiness, without no desire for having clean hands and a pure heart. It is the gospel, and that's what God does in a sinner's heart. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. It's not just that one transaction that took place on Calvary, but it's a continuation. Every day, it should be something becoming new in your life. Things are changing constantly. God is continually sanctifying you and growing you in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that God has begun a work in us, and He is going to perform that work till the day and the Lord's coming, the Lord Jesus Christ. So praise God for this work that He done in salvation, of saving sinners. But it's not only there. God has that plan in you, young people, that He would work in you to raise you up, to be salt and light to a generation that knows not God, that knows not the things about God. So we see His working in us, a work of sanctification, cleansing us, purifying us. Even the Bible talks about that Jesus will come back for a bride that's spotless, that's unblameless. God's not going to come back for a dirty bride. Though we won't be in perfect state ever here on this earth, but God is continually to make us holy, to make us pure, to make us righteous, to be that salt, to be that light in darkness. So we thank God for the sanctifying grace, the justifying grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are justified with Him. We are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus today, partakers of His riches and His glory. Thank God when the enemy, Satan himself, would come and accuse you of being a failure, of being a sinner. Thank God for when the enemy comes and accuses you and throws the fiery darts at your mind, that you can stand and say, Satan, I rebuke thee. I stand in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am perfect in Him. I am holy in Him. I am righteous in Him. You go to Him. So we thank God that we have the righteousness of Christ. We have the holiness of Christ that we can claim as Christians today. But thank God that the Lord Jesus Christ today is working also in us a sanctification, that we have a responsibility as the saints of God to perform that which He started us in us. We think about that song, Are You Washed in the Blood of the Lamb? Soul cleansing blood of the Lamb. What God does when He saves a sinner is cleanses them. He cleanses that polluted soul. He cleanses that filthiness, that stains about us, and begins that work in us to make us more like His Son, Jesus Christ. Thank God on that day when Christ took upon Himself that cross, when He died on that old rugged cross, every sin, past, present, and future, Christ paid for it. He paid the sin debt. He paid all the sins that we committed in times past from the time we were born all the way up until the time that God saved us. Some of us were saved at a younger age. Some of us were saved at an older age. But all the sins past have been forgiven. All the sins past have been taken upon that cross. Even yet the sins as us, as saints of God, have been taken upon that cross. Even yet when we sin tomorrow, or a week from now, or a month from now, Christ Jesus has taken those sins upon Himself. But thanks be to God, when we do sin, we have an advocate, we have a mediator, one between man and God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, who says, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all our iniquities and all our transgressions. Praise be to God, we have one who is interceding on the right hand of God, on the right hand of the Father today. When the enemy would throw all these lies, when the enemy would throw all these accusations against us, we have one that is pleading our cause, that is pleading our case. They are righteous, they are mine, they are holy, they are my elect, they are my blood-bought saints of God that Satan cannot touch. So we praise God today that He has justified us and He is sanctifying us in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Declared righteous. I think about that song. Guilty, vile were we. Offenders of a thrice holy God. Enemies against God. At war against God. Throwing our fist in rebellion against God, against our parents and against others. Sinners not only against God, but sinners against others in our community. Sinners against our family. But praise be to God that He died on that rugged cross, Jesus Christ, and yet we were guilty. We think about one who has been charged of murder. And all the evidence is brought against him. Everything, the forensic evidence, the murder weapon, the murder clothes, the car that he was in, even the tire tracks, all point to that man as guilty. And everybody in that courtroom sees that man as guilty. They see all the weapons, all the charges brought against him. And they find him guilty. And the judge slams that gavel down and that man is sentenced to a lifetime in prison. But yet God would have it different with us that are blood-bought, chosen by God. As He would look down through eternal ages and see every one of us in this place guilty against God. Sinners against God. Sinners against the Holy God. But yet as Jesus stands as the advocate and says, I've paid the price for their sins. I died on that old rugged cross to set them free from the bondage, from the life sentence of eternal hell, the eternal judgment and wrath of God that would be poured out upon sinners. Christ Jesus stands and declares us righteous. Our guilt is gone. Our condemnation is gone. Therefore, if you be in Christ Jesus, therefore is there no condemnation. So we see there that God has declared us righteous. He has slammed the gavel down, even though we were all guilty before a thrice holy God. He says, they are mine. They are no longer guilty. They are innocent. They are set free from the bondage of sin and the bondage of guilt. And we think about there in Galatians, about liberty there in Galatians 5, 5:1 in Galatians, in the later part of that chapter, he says, stand fast, wherewith is that liberty? What liberty is talking about? He says that we were once these. You walked in the flesh. You were revilers. You were all these sins that he brought up, walking in the flesh. But then he says, but you now walk in the Spirit. The Spirit of love, joy, peace, kindness, tenderness, love, long-suffering. All these different fruits of the Spirit. Such were some of you. But now you walk in the fruit of the Spirit. Praise be to God for the sanctifying grace and justifying grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. For we are all guilty before a thrice holy God. And there are some of you here in this place, young people, if you'd pay attention and look to the Word of God, that many of you in this place are still under the wrath of God. The Bible says, he that believeth not the gospel, he that believeth not in the Lord Jesus Christ is still under the condemnation and wrath of a thrice holy God. Your sin is ever before the eyes of God. Your sin is a stench in the nostrils of God. You say, well, I've not been that bad preacher. I've not done this. I've not done this. But you're still under the sentence and wrath of a holy God. And the only way you can come to the saving faith of Jesus Christ is to be born again. The Bible says you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. As Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he said, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God unless you be born again. Young people, are you born again? Have you experienced the saving power of Christ Jesus? So we see here, sanctified in the name and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, whereby there is no other name under heaven given amongst men, whereby we must be saved. There is no other name. It's not Buddha. It's not Krishna. It's not any other religion. Muhammad. There is one name above all every names. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. So there's only one name that you can be saved by, sanctified in, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see we are sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we also see that we are sanctified by the Spirit of God. Let us look in verse 11, in the second half of this verse. The Bible says that you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. If you'll turn with me to Ezekiel 36, verses 23 through 27. The Bible says, and I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which we have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and will gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep them, my judgments, and do them. So we hear, how are we sanctified? How are we given a new heart? How are we taking that heart of stone and giving us a heart of flesh? Yes, we are justified in the name. We are sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But after we are saved by the grace of God, we are having a spiritual renewal, a spiritual rebirth, a new spiritual creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The impartation of the Spirit of God, the influence of the Spirit of God is now working in our lives. As we see in the book of Acts, when Jesus died and he went to that old rugged cross and he got up from the grave, he had told his disciples that there will be a comforter. There will be one that will replace me, and it'll be the Holy Spirit of God. And he will be the one that will indwell you. He will be the one that will teach you and comfort you and guide you in all the ways. So we see on the day of Pentecost that the Holy Spirit came on that day as those 120 disciples were in the upper room gathered in prayer and seeking the face of God, and the fire fell from heaven as it was cloven tongues. That fire set upon them and a mighty rushing wind, the sound of a mighty rushing wind came into that place. And on that day of Pentecost, God gave us that gift of the Holy Spirit, wherewith we work in our gifts of the Spirit. Whether it be preachers or evangelists or pastors, God gave us the Holy Spirit. Through the work of God, He gave us a new heart and a new spirit within us. And that's wherewith we are sanctified. The Holy Ghost, we are sealed with that promise of the Holy Ghost. He has sealed us with the Holy Ghost. Now that Holy Ghost begins to work in us and through us throughout our whole life. And if there's ever a point in your life when you stop to grow, when you're at a place where you're stagnant, there must be some things in your life that you have to clean out. The Bible says, who shall stand in His holy place? Who shall stand in His holy hill? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul unto vanity. You think about this river out here, and you think about the rocks. Yes, for this river to flow freely, there would be a place where all these rocks would be out of the river, and you wouldn't have places where it's dammed up, where it's stopped. But yet there's rocks in that road. And I think the reason why the Spirit of God is not moving in the churches as it used to, because sin is not being preached on, there's not a desire for holiness and a desire for sanctification, and there's rocks and there's sin in our lives that are clogging up and not allowing the Holy Spirit of God to work through us and in us and in the church itself. We have a lot of sin in the churches. And there must be a place where we, as in the book of Joel and the book of Ezra, where we would sanctify ourselves unto our God, and we would sanctify a fast and call a solemn assembly and realize our need for God in the churches today. The church that once walked in the power and glory of our God, the church that once had the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, where sinners would come to a thrice holy God and bow their knee and realize that they're sinners by the work of the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God. For the Bible says the Holy Spirit will come to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Where is that conviction today of sinners? Where is the power of the Holy Spirit of God working in sinners and the saints of hearts today, putting holy affections, holy desires in their hearts to serve our great God in heaven? I think about my nephew who was saved just several weeks ago, 2 weeks ago. This was a true Holy Spirit conversion. It was the people of God under a great burden of prayer for a soul. It was people that were earnestly travailing over a sinner, realizing that the work is done through the Holy Spirit of God and through the things and graces that God has given us to bring sinners into the kingdom of God. And as I thought about that night and still reflect about it, I've not seen a conversion like that in such in 5 to 6 years since I've been saved. As my nephew ran down to that altar under a Holy Ghost conviction and bowed his knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and said, I surrender. I'm a sinner. I need life. I need a new life. My life is wrecked. My life is going to be scarred by sin if I don't give my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you young people in here tonight, if you don't give your life to Jesus Christ, you'll find yourself at an older age, your life wrecked by sin, scarred by sin, yet without hope and without God in your life. But I'll tell you, if you'll bow your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, His Lordship, if you'll surrender your life to Jesus Christ today, that there will be a life that is abundant, a life with purpose, a life with hope, and a life of assurance that you'll go to heaven and be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that today, young people? Do you have that today, saints of God? That assurance that you will go to heaven, that you've been forgiven and cleansed by the power of the Spirit of God. We need that Holy Ghost conviction. We need that holy awe once again back in the assemblies of the saints of God in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, where the Holy Spirit will convict of sin, where the Holy Spirit will bring sinners unto repentance and faith and trust in God. So we see, sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one doing the work in the church today. He is the one that is empowering saints to go out into the uttermost parts of the world and preach the gospel. He is the one that is sanctifying and setting apart pastors and evangelists and teachers to do the will of God and to preach the Word of God. It is the work of the Holy Spirit of God, the sanctifying grace of God through the work of the Holy Spirit of God. So we see, we are not just saved to go to heaven. We are not just saved to sit on a church pew. We're not just saved to come to the house of God and sing praises and hymns to our great God in heaven, which is one of the things that we do as saints. But God has done a work in us that we would give to others what God has given unto us. Amen. We are to do the work of God. We are to be out evangelizing. We are to be out telling the people about the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the truth. We have the grace of God to do what He's called us to do. But you look at all these other religions that are impacting our nation today. Our nation is in trouble. Our pulpits are in trouble. Our teachers and evangelists are in trouble. But you look at all these religions influencing and impacting our nation today. You got Jehovah's Witnesses out on the doors, day after day, trying to reach the same people, handing out their literature. You got Islamic, the Islam religion, impacting our nation, trying to set up their religion in our nation, this nation that has been founded upon the Word of God, which we have a great heritage, a great godly heritage here in this nation. And I think about what's often been spoken about today, or this week. Judgment begins in the house of God. Amen. It's not the nation, it's not the sinners or the things that are going on in our politicians that are the cause and root of all of what's going on in our nation, but it's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've gone away from the New Testament standards. We've gone away from the book of Acts, the power and authority that these men walked in. Know that we wouldn't have the apostolic powers or the prophetic gifts. They passed away. But we can still walk in the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost of God as we go out and be salt and light to a world that's lost and dying in sin. And I thought about that sanctifying grace of God. How God takes us and cleanses us, renews us, and restores us by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And God can do it again. But there's a responsibility of God's people to pray and seek His face. Where is the fasting? Where is that earnest desire where the Bible says, and these things cometh forth not by what? Prayer and fasting. We're still dealing with principalities and powers of the air. We're still dealing with demons and devils that lurk and walk behind the minds of men, behind our politicians, behind even preachers and teachers in the pulpits, false prophets that are all across this land. These things are only going to come forth by prayer and fasting. If God's done it in ways gone before, when men would seek the face of God, spend hours in prayer, spend hours in fasting and prayer in the Word of God, and yet to see miraculous things taking place in those days when sinners were converted, multitudes of men and women coming to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, they've done it that way, so are we going to have to do it today. God's not changed. He does it the same and same and same. He's an unchangeable God. He is immutable. And God expects that of us today, church. Is our hearts that broken? Is our hearts that grieved? Are our hearts that broken for sinners that they're out there without God? We're the same place where we were. Such were some of you. The only thing that separates us between sinners and saints is all what was done on that old rugged cross. Jesus Christ, as He died on the cross of Calvary, the only way we're sanctified, the only way we're justified, is through the precious blood that was shed on that old rugged cross, Calvary. So we see that we're not just saved to sit in church. We're not just saved to go to heaven. We're saved to do the work and go to the work which God has commanded us to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing, teaching all nations. And what authority? The authority and name of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way I can stand and preach to you is knowing that I'm covered in the blood, knowing that it's His righteousness and not my own. For the Bible says in the book of Romans, hey, there's no not one. There's none good. There's none that doeth righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. Our throats were once as an open sepulchre. But today we are washed. We are cleansed. We are sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see that we are producing new fruits. As Brother Finnegan talked last night on the fruit of the Spirit. We all know a tree by its fruit. You can look at a good tree and see the good apples hanging off of it. But you can look at another tree and see it's not bearing really good fruit. There's scars, there's different soft spots in it. You know the difference between a good tree and a bad tree. Even yet Matthew 7, talking about the false prophets. Yet I can believe that you can even take that into the Christian's life. You know them by their fruits. You know those that are saved by the grace of God and walking in holiness, walking in sanctification. So we see that there is, at first, I give this illustration. When you were saved by the grace of God, God done a work in you at that moment when you were saved. It was transpired even before the foundations of the world were ever laid. That God knew that you were one of His by electing grace, chosen by God, but yet the day that God birthed you into the family of God, there was a transaction that took place when God imputed His righteousness to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, and you were there declared righteous. There was an initial cleansing that took place, such as it is when you walk into a new house, and you go into this house, and you go in, and you start cleaning the carpets, you start cleaning the walls, you start cleaning the blinds. But yet if you leave that place just as it is throughout 20 years of living there, it's going to be pretty filthy, it's going to be pretty dirty, it's not going to be clean. But when you go into that house and you take a week here or a day here to clean out your drawers, to clean the carpets, to wipe off the blinds, that place is going to be clean. Well, that's how it is in the Christian life. There was an initial cleansing that takes place when the power of God and the power and the fusion of the Holy Spirit come into one's life and you're made a new creature in Christ, that God begins that work. And it's a continuous work of sanctification, continuous work of cleansing, renewing in your life, in your heart, mind, and soul. For the Bible says in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, that you be not conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind. So God continues to renew, continues to change, continues to sanctify every blood-bought saint of God. And if you're not going through this process, if you're not being sanctified, if you're not being delivered from sins that are in your life, attitudes that are in your life, covetousness and different things in your life, then there might be a good chance that you've never been saved by the grace of God. If you're still at the same spot that once you were in times past, there might be evidence in your life that the Spirit of God is not working in you, and you need to be born again. So we see there is a sanctification by the Spirit of God, initial cleansing. But I think about this. A lot of times when you walk up to a house and you see the outside that's been manicured, you see the outside that's been taken care of, the place has been painted, there's nice trees planted, nice flowers planted, you expect that place to be nice and clean in the inside. But I've always said this, when God does a work in the inside of a man, He also does a work on the outside. No, you may wear long dresses, you may adapt to all the regulations and all the traditions of man. You may read your Bible day after day. You may sit in the church pew hour after hour and still be lost without Christ on your way to hell. It's not just the outside things that make you saved or born again. But there is a heart transaction, a heart that takes place, a transaction that takes place in your heart where it gives a desire that you would be clean as well on the outside. And there's things that are taking place, young people, in this day and age that we're living in, where the world is bearing all and showing all. There's no respect amongst the young people for their bodies, where the Bible says marriage is honorable in all things, that you would keep yourselves for marriage, that you would keep your bodies holy unto the Lord God, that you not present yourself, as the Bible says, like a whoremonger or a prostitute before men. All it is selling the body for the eyes and appeal of men and others. But you keep it covered, young people. Dress modestly. The Bible talks about in Timothy and Titus that women would keep themselves dressed modestly. And we see that modesty being taken out of our churches. You can go into churches today and women are dressing and flaunting themselves like they're in a nightclub. And there's no evidence of salvation. There's no evidence of sanctification in the lives of these. And it burdens my heart and grieves my heart and takes me back to Ezekiel 36 where it says these, talking to the children of Israel, these are the ones that have profaned my name. These are the ones that profane my name. How is the name of our God going to be profaned? That's by the church. Those that claim to be saved, same claim to be justified by the power of God, where God says, well, where grace more did much abound, and about sin, that portion of Scripture, He said, God forbid you sin. God forbid we sin against God. His name is being profaned today all across this land. And it would be up to us as the saints of God that we would sanctify ourselves, that we would be holy as He is holy, to walk in holiness. Amen. To see Him for who He really is, the holy God of heaven, one who is completely different, one who is completely separate, one who is sinless and perfect. There is no spot. Nothing in Him ever has been or will be wrong. He is the complete sinless Savior, the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundations of the world. That is our God. Who is a God like unto Thee? Who is a God like unto Thee? So we see that there is that sanctification by the Spirit. But we also see not just the Lord Jesus are we justified in, nor sanctified in, but as well the triune God. Let us turn to Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Titus 3, 4 through 6. And we here have a list in this portion of Scripture as well where it's talking about those that are disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy and hateful and hating one another. Then we have that but again. We see that but in Ephesians chapter 2, but. And we also see it here. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So we see here the work of the triune God. He says, God, our Savior. But we also see, not by works of righteousness, but by the washing and regeneration of the Holy Ghost of God. I had preached this to the young people yesterday, that there is only one source of salvation. There is only one man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, that you can go to for salvation. And that's the Lord Jesus Christ. But we see there is a work of the triune God in the sanctifying grace of God in our hearts and in our minds. He said, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. What did He shed abroad on us? The Holy Spirit of God. He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit that now indwells within us. And I think a big part and a major play in the churches today is that there is no sensitivity, no realization that there is a person that lives within inside us, the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit of God. We don't think much about the grieving of the Holy Spirit of God. We don't think much about the quenching of the Holy Spirit of God. We see it all throughout. And that was one thing that very people in the old days were sensitive to. The Holy Spirit of God that dwells within us. The working of the Holy Spirit of God. God gave us this gift. God gave us this person, the Holy Spirit, which He has shed abroad in our hearts. That wherewith the love of God can come forth through our hearts and through our lives. So we see He has sanctified us also through God the Father sought us. God the Son saved us. And God the Spirit sanctifies us. 1 Timothy 4:5. How are we sanctified? By the Word. Jesus is the Word. So we say, how are we to become more sanctified? How are we to become more holy? How are we to be more like Christ? Well, you think about one who reads a story or a biography about an athlete, one who studies every move that he does on the basketball court, whether he's playing or shooting, what kind of move he does. I think about Michael Jordan, the way that men would mimic him. Men would try to repeat his moves. They studied Him, they watched Him, they read Him. But how are we to become sanctified? How are we to become more Christ-like? It's through the Word of God. For we are sanctified, as Brother Dan prayed this morning. Sanctified through Thy Word. We need to be in His Word more often. As Brother Finnegan had said last night, many times if I wake up in the morning and I have to rush off to go to work and I have to rush off to do something and I go without communion with God, my day just not seem right. If I leave out a day of prayer, if I leave out a day of reading God's Word and communing with Him, it just doesn't seem right. But we need to be in God's Word. I think Duncan Campbell wrote the book on revival, or as Brian Edwards wrote a book on revival. And he said this. He said, what revival is a people saturated with God. And how are we to become saturated with God? That's we are to be saturated with the Word of God. Reformation and revival will come to our land when there is a people that are thirsty and hungry for the Word of God. When we get rid of all of our idols, all the things that are coming between us and God, when we get rid of all the things that are hindering the working of the Holy Spirit of God and God moving through us and in us, and we consecrate ourselves unto the Lord. There is no greater time and no greater need today than a people that are saturated with God. A people that have one desire and one flame about them, and that is to serve the true and living God. And young people, it'd be right for you today to see yourself lost without Christ. See that you're in need of a Savior, that you're a sinner, that Jesus would be made your Lord and Savior today. I thank God for the sanctifying grace. I thank God for His justifying grace. I thank God that He is still working in His people and that He's put a new heart. He's taken that heart of stone out of us and put a heart of flesh. I praise God today that He is still saving sinners by the means of grace and mercy. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved. Not of yourselves, but it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." And we see that here in verse 5. "Not by works of righteousness what we have done, but according to His mercy." There's nothing we could do. Unmerited favor. It was all what God done through His precious Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross of Calvary. There's no amount of works, no amount of money we could give, no amount of medications or anything that we could do for the community, but it was all what God done on that cross when Jesus Christ took upon Himself our sins and suffered the wrath and justice of a thrice holy God, as our sins were imputed to Him and His righteousness imputed to us on that transaction that took place on that day. So we praise God for the sanctifying grace that He is working in us and through us as born-again believers. But it's my concern for you that are young people today that know not the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." He says, "He that cometh unto me I will no wise cast out." The Bible also says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And whosoever believeth shall not be ashamed." Young people, run to Christ. He's your only hope in this world. You'll never find any satisfaction, anything in this life that will complete and satisfy your desires in this life. Only the one that can satisfy your desires is that the name of Lord Jesus Christ Himself. The one who shed His precious blood on Calvary for hell-deserving sinners. Sinners that deserve the wrath and justice of a thrice holy God. So we see today that Christ is still saving sinners. That God is still working in His church and will work in His church until the day of His coming. So we bless God today for the sanctifying and justifying grace that He gives unto His children. Let us close in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank You and do praise You for this day. God, I thank You for Your help this morning. Lord, we thank You for, Lord, the work that You're doing in us, sanctifying us and, Lord, conforming us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we're undeserving, Lord, unworthy of, Lord, the transaction that took place on the cross of Calvary. But we thank You, God, that, Lord, You've chosen us. You've bought us with that precious price, Lord, that blood shed on Calvary. And Lord, we'd ask You, God, to give us pure hearts and clean hands. God, we'd ask You, Father, to help us, Lord, live holy lives before Thee, sanctified lives. And Lord, get rid of anything, Lord, in our lives that would hinder You from working in us and through us in this lost and dying world. And God, we just pray for Doc this day, Lord, that You'd touch him and help him. Lord, we do praise You and bless You in Jesus' name. Amen.